This is Kinetic Podcast, a podcast for those with a heart for reaching kids. I'm your host, Josh Combs, and each episode you're going to hear practical insights and strategies that will hopefully inspire you to energize your kidmen. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy today's episode. What's going on, everyone? Thank you so much for listening. This is Kinetic Podcast, and my name is Josh Combs, and I want to say thank you for checking us out. Thank you for listening. It has been way, way too long since I've posted anything on this podcast, and if you guys were with me from the beginning, we started off as a conference call about 3 or 4 years ago. Believe it or not, it's been that long, and it morphed into a podcast, and about a year and a half later, I just kind of took a break, just stopped. Just to kind of give you an update, I've been a kids pastor here for 3 years in Connecticut. And so just got caught up in all the craziness and the awesomeness of working at a church full time, if any of you. I'm sure some of you can relate to that. But I started to talk to a few people about getting the podcast back up and started to you know, just get inspired listening to kids ministry podcasts, which I try to do on a regular basis. And I was like, you know what, we can do this. Let's get this back going. And so invested in some equipment to take it to the next level. But here we are, Kinetic Podcast. So the goal is to bring you guys something every week, whether it's an interview with another kids minister or a 5-minute Friday, which is just kind of a little snippet, just a little inspiration or some strategies you can use in your kids ministry. I'm going to keep this going. So I already have some things in the pipeline. I already have some speakers that I'm very excited about and some ideas. So let's get right into this episode. This is with Justin Jeter, who is a children's pastor and in Bentonville, Arkansas, a good friend of mine. And we talked about connecting home and the church, connecting the family to what goes on in the middle of the week to what goes on Sunday. And he gives some great, great insights and some practical things you'll see in the show notes, which is something new that we're going to be trying, is really giving some good content in the show notes. And so you'll see in there some resources we talked about, and also too a resource that he uses, a take-home paper that he uses in his kids ministry each week. And so that can give you some ideas to use in your kids ministry. Well, without further ado, this is Justin Jeter. Enjoy the episode. Well, thanks everyone for listening to Kinetic Podcasts. And today we have a very special guest on the episode. It is so good to have a friend of mine, Justin Jeter. He is a kids pastor in Bentonville, Arkansas. Him and his wife have been the kids pastors there for 3 years at Calvary Tabernacle under Pastor Chantry Dean. And him and Hillary, they just got a new addition to their family, Benton Oaks. And it is so good to have Justin on the episode today. And we're going to talk to him today about some things that he's doing there at his church and with his kids. Justin, thank you so much for being on the episode.
Hey, Josh. Thanks for having me, man. Just want to say what a privilege this is. Wow. Wow. I'm honored. Thanks, man.
Well, man, we're honored to have you, man. Honored to have you on the podcast. And I guess we'll go ahead and get it out in the open because, you know, about a year and a half or so, we did have a podcast episode recorded. I know we're just getting this out there where you were on it. And everything was great, and it just never made it to air, never made it on the episode. And that's kind of when I took a break, you know, not because of you, you know, just want to make that clear, but it just kind of happened. But man, now that you're on, and we finally got this on the air, so thank you, man. And this is going to be published, so thank you for giving us another chance.
To be honest, I wasn't going to bring it up, but I'm glad that you kind of just said it and got it out there. And I hope that I'm a little bit wiser than I was.
Yes, I hope so too. I hope so. That's the reason why. You know, that was just a test run.
It's all good. It's all good. I've forgiven you.
Well, thank you, man. And again, awesome to have you on the episode. So just kind of take us from the beginning. Tell us a little bit about how you got to where you were as being a full-time or I believe part-time kids pastor on staff as a kids pastor. And just kind of tell us a little bit how you got there and what's going on there in Bentonville, Arkansas.
Yeah, definitely. So born and raised in Florida and started kids ministry when I was about 14 or 15, because that was the cool thing to do. We had a really awesome kids ministry program at my church in Florida. And, you know, kind of me and a group of friends all joined around the same time because they're like, man, let's do this together because it's like so cool. There's like puppets and stuff. And so we got involved in that. And that's kind of where it all started. And then God really just put a passion and burden in my heart for kids ministry. And I never looked back. And I mean, that was 15 years ago. So now you know how old I am. And this opportunity to be a children's pastor here at Bentonville, Arkansas, has been a fantastic opportunity. And we love it here. We love the church, love the area, love being on staff, and just the ability to grow in leadership and in our capacity and ministry has been fantastic. And then seeing just the growth in the church and in our volunteers and the kids themselves, it's been just so wonderful and very blessed, very thankful for all that's happened in our lives and seeing just the fruit of our ministry. It's been great.
That's awesome. That's great. And like you said, you know, definitely when you become a kids pastor in a very active role, you definitely learn a lot. And you get to travel as well, correct? You get to evangelize here and there.
Yeah. So I work full time. I have a full time career, and then I do kids ministry. And when opportunities arise, I do enjoy getting out and evangelizing. And really, for me, it's just evangelizing is awesome. It's great. It's exciting. Get to see a lot of kids filled with the Holy Ghost. And you also get a new perspective on different ministries and how other churches do it. So you're just always getting a new insight into other churches and meeting other people, connecting with other children's ministers and people that necessarily don't call themselves children's ministers or children's pastors. They might not have that title, but they are nose to the grind, working it every week, every Sunday. And my hat's off to them because they're doing amazing jobs.
Definitely. Yeah, that's one of the neat things about traveling. It really broadens your perspective, and you get to see a lot of things that you know, say, hey, you know, that's a great idea. Maybe something that I wouldn't have thought about. And you really get to meet some amazing people that just have the passion. And it's not about, you know, if they're recognized or if they're known by a lot of people, but they're just in their local churches serving their kids, serving their families. And it's very, very inspiring. So that's awesome, man. That's great. Well, in your experience, we want to really kind of just pick your brain today on our topic, which is connecting the home to the church, connecting, you know, what goes on at the church, what goes on Sunday, to bringing it back to the family, bringing it back to home. So if you could kind of just kind of unpack that for us, just kind of look, you know, kind of show us, because I know you have some really unique and creative things that you guys do. What are some ways that you guys do on a weekly basis of trying to connect the experience of what happens on Sunday or happens in the midweek to taking it home when they go back home that weekend or that week? What are some methods that you guys are using to kind of bridge that gap?
Yeah. So when we moved to Bentonville and kind of got settled in the church, settled in our roles here, one of the things we wanted to do is really make sure that we were really getting our kids grounded in truth. We wanted to really connect with our kids and make sure that what we were teaching on Sunday wasn't being lost on Monday. So what we were teaching Sunday, we wanted to make sure it was sticking with them on Monday. And we were trying to do our best with making that happen. And some ways that we have come across and, you know, nothing that necessarily is original things, but just things that we've tried, because we've heard other people kind of do it, or we've heard from other sources about a way to do it, and we've done it several ways and kind of found how it works best for us, and also just the way that we've kind of just creating a culture for our kids' ministry and for our parents. Some of the ways that we've done it that have been the most effective for us is we started doing what started off as just a take-home sheet, where it's just like a one page and, you know, multicolored paper, fluorescent colors to get their attention. So if they saw it, they'd remember, oh yeah, that's the CT Kids take-home devotion. And it had to-do things or little tasks or questions, conversation starters, a verse, an activity for every single day, Monday through Saturday, that reminded the kids of what we talked about on Sunday. And so we started that, and we did that for probably a year, year and a half, 2 years. We did it for quite a while, and then started noticing that the participation factor of that was kind of wearing down a little bit. And so we've just recently revamped it, and now we have a full-colored pamphlet that gets printed every week. And it goes to parents with a full-colored picture on the front with the name or the description of the lesson or the story that we talked about, with a character or some sort of graphic on the front. You open it up. It's got events for CT Kids. It has kids' birthdays for that month. It's got Monday through Saturday, the discussion questions. It's got the memory verse on it. And then on the back of it, it has ways that you can, you know, maybe there's something that's happening in CT Kids and we're in need of supplies or crafts or something like that, that parents can get connected with. We have that on the back of it with the other ways they can connect, like on social media. So that's been a really big deal for us, because we've gotten a lot of feedback since. Parents coming up and saying, you know, have you guys always done a CT Kids take home sheet or devotion, and you know, just complimenting so much on what this pamphlet has done for them. We have parents that come up and say, we do this every night before we go to bed, or we do it on the way to school. We talk through it, or at breakfast time we talk through it, or at dinner. There's certain points of interaction during your day that works best for your family, and we definitely encourage parents to find that time. And they're able just to, you know, put it on the refrigerator or put it on the dining room table or the counter, and they pull up and they, you know, this is Monday and it's a scripture, or it's Tuesday and it's a discussion question about the story, you know, or it's Wednesday reminding them that, hey, we have Kids Connect on Wednesday night. Get me there at 6:45 so I can hang out with my friends, and then you can pick me up at 8 p.m. You know, just connections and ways to remind kids and parents of what we're talking about on Sunday so that we don't lose that through the week.
Yeah, that's great. And I think the big thing there is conversation, you know, trying to create a culture of sparking conversation between the kids and their parents, you know, and the family. Because a lot of times it might be, you know, oh, what'd you learn about today? Oh, that's great. But kind of taking it to that next step and giving them a tool, something like a pamphlet or a handout, which is really cool, you know, to kind of guide that direction, guide that conversation.
A point to mention with that is how vital it is to get parents on board, is that really the bridge from church to home is parents. They are the biggest influencers in the lives of their kids. So the church has 40 to 45 hours a year with their kids, making an impact on their lives. And that's, you know, because kids are out on vacation or they're sick, or a Sunday service is canceled, a holiday, or for some whatever reason, you know, there's only about 40, 45 hours a year that we can make an impact. But parents have upwards of 3,000 hours a year that they are having one-on-one conversations or spending time with their kids. And if we can just take a small percentage of that and have those parents on our side and influencing them, that makes a big impact and a big difference in the lives of our kids and in the overall and in your children's ministry. You have more grounded kids because they're grounded at home too. They're not just Sunday morning Christians, but they're 7 days a week.
Very cool. Yeah, that's what it's all about. Now, you know, conversation, obviously, sparking that conversation between the kids and the parents and talking about things of God and talking about the Bible and things that they learn is very important. What have you found, you know, how can we as kids pastors and kids ministers not only encourage conversation, but how can we encourage devotion? You know, again, I know it might not even be a habitual thing, unfortunately, in our households in America for families to pray together or to read the Bible together. But what have you found along with that? You know, what are some ways to encourage that to be at home? Is it through the handout, or are there other things, other steps that we can take to, hey, you know, how can you know, as a family pray together and as a family read the Word together and talk about these things? But not only that, but actually seek God together. What have you found that has worked in that area?
Great question. So the take-home devotion definitely helps with that because, again, it's that open conversation, and you know, there's the scriptures in there that if parents really utilize it, you know, using that as a tool to spark that time of, you know, it can definitely turn into devotion, and we encourage that. We also utilize social media, and we post the devotions up there on social media, so it's a reminder. Parents, most moms, most dads have social media, whether it's Instagram or Facebook. And so it's in their feed all the time. It's in their face and reminding of them, hey, I need to make sure I take time with my kids today, whether that's 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, to, you know, to interact with them in that and make sure that I'm influencing them in the right way. Also, you know, for parents to find that point, that time of interaction, you know, going back to what we were talking about just earlier was, you know, everybody has that time, whether it's at dinner or whether it's before bedtime, going over it and having that time of devotion. So really just encouraging parents to help them find that time, and what works best for their family.
Very cool. Yeah. And again, I think that's the key, you know, for kids to be grounded. It's not only going to be something that's taught on Sunday, but when it's reinforced in the home and that lifestyle of prayer and reading the Bible is encouraged at home, that's what's going to be key as they grow up. Now, I know you mentioned social media, which obviously is really big, you know, in all aspects of life right now. But I have found, you know, as a kids pastor, that social media is a great way to connect with parents. Connect with families. You know, you don't get a lot of kids on social media, which you know is probably a good thing. But your main audience is the parents. You know, and I know we've put videos up before where it was geared towards the kids, and the parents, you know, would let the kids see it. You know, so it does work, but it's a great way to communicate to both. But what have you found in your social media strategies? You know, what have you found, you know, what are some things that have worked or maybe didn't work as well as far as communicating, getting messages across to the parents? What are some, you know, what are some techniques or just things that you've done that other people can do when communicating to the parents through social media?
Yeah. And Josh, I mean, as you know, I follow your Kids Rock social media. It's, you know, it's definitely at the top. If there was a ranking of, you know, followers of social media, Instagram, you know, like there used to be for MySpace.
Right.
You would definitely be at the top because I like all of your stuff.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Return that you like all of my stuff. It's a two-way street.
I do follow you, and you guys do a great job. You really do. But thank you. I appreciate that.
But really, it's, you know, people are only going to like and follow what they're interested in. And so, like you said, the main audience that we're going after for social media is the parents, because, you know, we're teaching kids that, you know, from the ages of 3 to 11, our hopes is that they don't have social media right now. But if you post a picture of someone's child, they're going to be interested in it, and they're going to be watching and hoping that they see another picture, because everybody loves seeing a picture of their own child. So You get pictures of kids and activities that they're doing on Sunday morning, whether that's, you know, a small group and there's a teacher teaching and those kids are sitting in a corner or sitting in a circle around that teacher and she's engaging or he's engaging and interacting with them. You know, and little Johnny's sitting there, mom's going to love that picture and she's going to continue following and being engaged in what's happening with that. If you show a video of kids doing motion songs and little Susie's in there, you got that mom's attention and she's now a follower for life because she's interested in her kids. And now she's interested in what you're doing with those kids. And so if you can, if there's a children's ministry that doesn't have a social media account, whether that's Facebook or Instagram, you need to get one. You can do that like today or tomorrow. Like you, that's something you can do right now to start that. It makes a difference with engaging with your parents and connecting with them. Another thing that we use our social media before is, you know, before I said we post the devotion. So remind them throughout the week, make sure you're doing your devotions. And then, you know, post a parent blog or something on there or an encouraging blog about Sunday school or the impact of children's ministry, you know, get parents engaged to, you know, what your passions are for that. And, you know, maybe the impact of, you know, having devotions in the home, what that means to kids and the longevity of their relationship and walk with God. You know, get parents showing them the importance of all of that. And then, you know, you can use it to keep up with dates of events, you know, getting them excited, the anticipation of an event that's happening. You guys do a great job at that. I'm always seeing like the lead up to an event. And so kudos to you guys on that because it keeps my attention as well. I'm like, oh yeah, that's Tuesday night that you guys are doing Mega Tuesdays and it's coming up this week. So, you know, keep that anticipation, that excitement of what's happening. And so I think that's a great way to utilize your social media to start with. And that's, again, something you can do right now, today or tomorrow.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, all those points are valid. Not only is it just communicating, you know, basic things like an event coming up or something happening, but it gets them engaged, you know, gets them interacting. If they see a child, if they see, you know, something that, you know, their own child there, that's going to be their own interest. That's going to, you know, help them to be engaged. So that's very key. Now, as far as on the, just kind of switching gears a little bit, as far as the whole topic of getting parents involved and getting them engaged, I know one thing that you've done is getting parents involved in your kids' ministry, you know, even if it's not teaching per se, teaching a class, you know, having parents help out with other activities, whether it be, you know, doing some kind of support or assisting teachers. So kind of talk to us about that. What have you seen as far as, you know, getting parents engaged in the ministry hands-on, and what are some things that have worked to get parents on board?
The struggle's real with volunteers. Can you agree with that, Josh?
Yes.
Hashtag struggle's real.
I'm sure. I'm sure everyone else is saying amen. Yes.
Yeah, for sure. Like, so, you know, the system's not perfect. And like you said, we have a way that we connect with parents. And we ask of their volunteer and their time. But what we've learned is that parents want to help out. They want to be involved, but not always do they want to be in a classroom. Not always do they want to be there on a Sunday morning. And that's fine. That's not for everybody. So what you have to do is figure out a way that works best for your church and your parents of how they can still be involved. And so what we've done, and this works to great benefits because most churches don't have very large budgets or funds for children's ministry. And so you have to either fundraise yourself or you just make do and be really creative without having a lot of funds. So what we've done is gotten parents involved with donations. Like parents will go out and sit next in front of a Walmart for hours for Girl Scout cookies. Or they'll go, you know, asking people to buy chocolate bars or whatever for their kids. That's investing into what their kids are interested in. And so what we found is that we ask them to donate craft supplies or snacks for the kids on Sundays. They donate of their time. and things outside of Sundays. If we're having events, you know, we're just asking them for a one time, hey, we're having this event on Saturday and we need 5 parents to man some booths. Can you dedicate, you know, 3 hours on Saturday to help with that? This isn't a lifelong commitment of being there every Sunday to teach first graders. This is just for this Saturday. And so we find that's beneficial. Parents get on board. They get engaged with it. And it gets a buy-in to the ministry when they see that what you're doing is making a difference and it's impacting their kids and that their kids love being there. Then parents are going to get involved. They're going to be interested in what their kids are interested in. And so rather than them investing their time and money into other things outside of the church, let's get a little bit of that into children's ministry. And the payoff is, that, again, parents are connecting to what you're doing. You're getting the support of the parents in the church. And so when you're out there and you want to try something different or something new, you have their support and trust. You have their back, or they have your back on what you're wanting to accomplish in kids ministry. So, a resource that we utilize for that. I know I just spit out a lot of information. How we help funnel all of that and keep that organized is a resource that we found called Sign Up Genius. And we didn't find it. It's a resource that was recommended. And I think teachers use it. School teachers use it for parents to do donations donate things to classrooms and teachers and stuff. And I believe that's what it's used for. But we signed up for it and we use it for our kids ministry. So check it out. Signupgenius.com, I believe.
Okay, awesome. We'll put that in the show notes. That's awesome. What are some other resources that you have found, you know, things like that, that people can go to as far as, you know, to use connecting parents, you know, with the kids ministry? I know we've talked about, you know, Orange ministry, which if you're not familiar with Orange is the concept of blending the home and church together, which there's all kinds of Orange resources out there. But what are some other resources that you have found that has helped you with connecting, you know, those two elements?
Yeah, definitely agree with the Orange podcast or the Orange blog. Their blogs are really good because there's a lot of family focused blogs about that and how families can have an impact on kids. So definitely stay up to date with that. And that would be a good resource to be able to maybe, you know, post into social media and get parents engaged with that. So Think Orange or the Orange blog are good resources. Listen to Kidology's podcast and Kidology website. A lot of great resources there. Children's Ministry Online, a lot of good blogs there. There's the Children's Ministry, I think it's called Children's Ministry Podcast, CMA, is that? No, that's not us. That's not it. What's it called, Josh? I think you listened to it too as well.
The CM Connect, Children's Ministry Connect?
Yes, that's what it is. Yes.
Yes.
Children's Ministry Connect is a great podcast, a lot of good information and ideas there. They have a conference every year, so they usually play like snippets of the conference of different speakers. So a lot of good information there. And then there's just a whole slew of podcasts that you can listen to about leadership or about children's ministry or ministry in general. And then, you know, you could search children's ministry blogs and come up with a whole bunch of stuff. But that's a handful of them there that that we utilize and that we kind of get some inspiration from.
Definitely. Yeah, and it's always important, especially in the aspect of connecting the family to the church and bridging that gap of just growing and developing and always learning how to be more effective in the area, because it's important. And I think, you know, what you're doing is you're really, you know, going not just from kids ministry, but thinking what we're doing is not just kids ministry, it's family ministry. And I think it's important for us to always remember that, you know, everything we do is reaching the family. One other question I have for you, Justin, is, you know, obviously we're talking about utilizing, you know, when we have parents that are involved in church, parents that you know, they bring their kids, but they also come as well, and they're believers. And so a lot of times there's already that open door for the kids to come in and bring home their take-home devotion, or they bring home the take-home sheet, and the parents, you know, are receptive to that. What about situations which, you know, we have a lot of this of kids who they come to church and maybe it's a aunt or an uncle or a grandmother or grandfather that brings them. And, you know, they go home and their parents aren't involved in church, or their parents just drop them off. Or maybe they do come to church, you know, ever so often, but they're not really engaged. What are some things that you have found to kind of help bridge the gap, you know, in those situations where it's the kids that are, you know, are the spiritual leaders, but the parents are just kind of, you know, lagging behind? What are some ways to try to bridge the gap in that situation?
Oh, man, I don't want to bring it back up again, but really, if you can get something in the kids' hands that you know are going to get home, and that information is passed on to the, you know, unchurched family or unchurched parents or guardians, you know, then you'll have a win there.
Okay.
Again, we use that. Awesome. We utilize that CT Kids devotion sheet. It gets in their hands. It's nice. It's multi, you know, it's full colored. It looks like it looks high quality. It's not something that, you know, just they're just going to throw away. We hope not, at least. We put a lot of work and pride into it, and we feel like it helps and it benefits our parents because they come back and they tell us that it does. So the extra effort is definitely, it pays off. But that's what we hope, is that when they take it home to an unchurched family, that family takes notice and opens it up and starts reading through about what their kids are learning. And it makes an impact on that family as well.
That's awesome. Yeah. And that's something that, you know, week after week, that family sees that parent sees that, you know, and pretty soon it's going to be, okay, well, let's pick it up and let's go through this devotion. And that's great. And I think the key there is, and that you guys are doing that on a consistent basis, that when you're consistently doing it, you know, that's really where the roots are going to start to take hold, you know, because it can be easy just to do it, you know, maybe a couple times and then, you know, let it go. And there's not really an effectiveness there. But when you, you know, make it a part of the weekly routine of, you know, on the way home, hey, let me see your handout and that things like that, that's where you really see, you know, things happen. So that's awesome. That's awesome.
Consistency is definitely the key with that, like you said.
Definitely. And like you said, you know, with the parents that are not churched, you know, that's going to make the impact of seeing that on a consistent basis. That's what's going to make the difference. So Justin, before we go, you know, the new motto of this podcast is energize your kidmen. And, you know, just taking some ideas, taking some insights and being able to just apply them directly. And I know you've already given us some great things, but if you could just, in your words, just leave us with, you know, one or two things that someone who is listening, what are a couple things that they can do right now this week, in your experience, that would work to connect the family, to connect the church and home? And maybe, you know, there might be people that are listening from, they go to a very small church, or maybe a mid-size or a large-size church. You know, there's different budgets out there. There's different size volunteer groups, or might be people that have a lot of volunteers, people that don't have many volunteers, much help. What is something that someone can do right now in their kids' ministry to start to bridge that gap and to not only reach the kids, but to reach the family?
Yeah. Listen, you have to find out what works best for you. Like you said, there are ministries out there of all different sizes, whether you have 10 kids, 50 kids, 100 kids, 300 kids. You have to find a process that works best for you and your church and your culture and the size of your ministry. But one thing I would definitely encourage you, you know, children's pastor, children's director, Sunday school director, whoever is listening, is be consistent. Find what works best, and then always be thinking about, what is this going to look like when I have 50 kids? If you have 10 kids now, make a process for you that is going to work for 50 kids, because Lord willing, you're going to have 50 kids eventually in your children's ministry. If you have 50 kids now, make your processes to work with 100 kids. Because one day you're going to have 100 kids. And so just don't always stay in that small church mind, or this is all I have to work with right now, so I'm going to make a process that works for these 10 kids. But think about, what's it going to look like when I've doubled or tripled the size of this kids ministry? That way you're not catching up when the growth happens. Or, you know, one Sunday you have 10 and then the next Sunday you have 30 kids. And now you're trying to figure out, how are we going to keep up with these kids? Or how are we going to rotate classrooms? Or what am I going to do when I don't have enough volunteers or I'm short staffed? You got to figure out what works best for you and make it consistent, make it adaptable, and then just pray. Lots of prayer, lots and lots of prayer.
Awesome, man. I love it. And I very much so. And I think that last one can't be, you know, stated enough, to pray. And obviously we want to, you know, prepare, and we want to have structure, but, you know, just pray that God would do it, you know, do his part. But those are some awesome, I think, practical things, steps that people can take right now this week and you know, apply to their kids ministry, wherever they are, whatever size it might be, because that's what it's all about, is connecting the home and the church. Well, Justin, thank you so much for being on the call. Thank you so much for, or being on the podcast, I should say. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your knowledge. And you are a traveling, you know, kids evangelist as well. And what's the best way for someone to reach you if they wanted to have you come to their church, or if they just wanted to pick your brain about some of the things that you were talking about today? What's the best way to reach you?
You could find me on Instagram. That's my main social media outlet. Currently, right now, it's just lots of pictures of my son, Benton Oaks. Because I am a proud father of a 5-month-old baby. And
that's
so
awesome.
You can find me on that. And let's see, my username is Justin_88_Jeter. So that would be my, where you could see me at Justin_88_Jeter. And then you could also just email me. That's Justin88Jeter@gmail.com.
Awesome. And we'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah, I would love to, you know, be able to help out in any way I can.
Definitely. We'll put that in the notes as well. Justin, thank you so much for being on the podcast. We really appreciate it. And I want to say thank you to everyone who's listened to this podcast. We hope you're able to take something today and connect the family and the church, connect those two elements, and energize your kidmen. Thanks again for listening.